The Book of Matthew, Chapter 20, The Kingdom of Heaven, Death, and Resurrection Foretold, Asking for Preferred Treatment, Sight for the Blind. This discourse goes from Jesus explaining and teaching the rich young ruler about eternal life and teaching his disciples about a disciple's reward to teaching on the kingdom of heaven. But this is a continuation of those matters. The Kingdom of Heaven. Matthew 20:1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Verse 2. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour, 9 a.m., and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Verse 4. And to those he said, "You go into the vineyard also, and whatever is right, I will give you." And so they went. Verse 5. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, at noon and again at 3 p.m., and did the same thing. Verse 6. And about the 11th hour, at 5 p.m., he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" Verse 7. They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." Verse 8. Now when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, starting with the last group to the first." Verse 9. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius, a day's wages. Verse 10. And so when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. Verse 11. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. Verse 12, saying, "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day's work and the scorching heat." Verse 13. But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" Verse 14. "Take what is yours and go, but I want to give to this last person the same as to you." Verse 15. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" Verse 16. "So the last shall be first, and the first, last." Commentary break. Although others may dispute a deathbed confession or that a person who is saved later in life, but hasn't had the necessary time remaining in their life to purge himself or herself of all their bad habits, they are just as saved as the person who was saved early in their childhood, and entitled to all the same benefits of having become a child of God and a disciple of Jesus. In other words, it is never too early nor is it ever too late to submit yourself to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and be saved. The glorious gift reward of God's grace, the forgiveness of your sins and His redemption is available to everyone. End commentary break. Death, resurrection foretold. Verse 17. As Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, He took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the road He said to them, verse 18, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn Him to death." Verse 19. "And they will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and flog and crucify, and on the third day he will be raised up." This is just one of several times that Jesus warned of his coming crucifixion and death. Here is a more complete description of these times, taken from gotquestions.org. Jesus predicted his death at least 3 times in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the book of John offers even more predictions. The first time Jesus predicted his death is detailed in Matthew 16:21-23. Mark 8:31-32, and Luke 9:21-22. Jesus had just fed the multitudes, and he said that the Son of Man must suffer many things, Mark 8:31, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised again. Peter then rashly began to rebuke Jesus, and Christ responded, "Get behind me, Satan." Matthew 16:33, Mark 8:33. Jesus knew that his death must happen. It was necessary in God's plan to save the world. Jesus predicted his death a second time in Matthew 17:22-23, Mark 9:30-32, and Luke 9:43-45. This occurred shortly after the Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John saw Christ in his heavenly glory. Perhaps this was the reason the disciples were so confused by Jesus telling them he was going to die. At this point, they believed his kingdom was just around the corner. Despite their lack of understanding, they were afraid to ask for clarification, Mark 9:32, Luke 9:45, Matthew 20:17-19, Mark 10:32-34, and Luke 18:31-34 describe the third time Jesus predicted his death. He spoke to his disciples as they were heading up toward Jerusalem for Passover, and he told them how he would be mocked, scourged, crucified, and then rise again. On this occasion also, the disciples did not understand Jesus' saying because the meaning was hidden from them. They would soon learn what Jesus meant in the events of Good Friday and following. End commentary break. Request for preferred treatment. Verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. Verse 21. And he said to her, "What do you desire?" She said to him, "Say that in your kingdom these two sons of mine shall sit, one at your right, and one at your left." Verse 22. But Jesus replied, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." Verse 23. He said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit at my right and at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Verse 24. And after hearing this, the other 10 disciples became indignant with the two brothers. Verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles domineer over them, and those in high position exercise authority over them." Verse 26. "It is not this way among you, but whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your servant." Verse 27. "And whoever desires to be first among you shall be your slave." Verse 28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Commentary break. There is so much that can be said about these verses and so little that needs to be said. Pride and arrogance are sin, and it existed even in the very earliest days. It remains a problem in the church today. However, Jesus does not miss the opportunity to make this a teaching moment. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles domineer over them, and those in high position exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your servant, and whoever desires to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is something, along with the many others of Jesus' teachings on attitude and behavior and character qualities, that should be held as teaching priorities in our churches today. These attitudes of pride, ego, entitlement, selfishness, arrogance and the such, are one of the more egregious stumbling blocks to the church, so much so, that when Peter interjected, Jesus called him by the name of Satan, for his errant attitude. If your church neglects to make these a regular teaching or as a high priority, then you and I should make it a personal priority to pray, meditate and to dwell on Jesus' words. End commentary break. Sight for those who are blind. Verse 29. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Verse 30. And two people who were blind, sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Verse 31. But the crowd sternly warned them to be quiet, yet they cried out all the more, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Verse 32. And Jesus stopped and called them, and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Verse 33. They said to him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." Verse 34. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Commentary break. Once again, there is much that could be said here, and much has been written about answered prayer. However, little needs to be said. Here is the short and succinct lesson for us. Jesus knew they were blind. Still, he asked them what they wanted from him. They told him directly, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." And Jesus showed them mercy and compassion, and they regained their sight. End commentary break. Jesus knows what you need before you ask. See Matthew 6:7-8. Seek him. Ask him. Receive. See Matthew 7:7-11. And don't complain like the laborers did, because others may have gotten more than you. Don't complain like Peter did, because you don't understand how these things could be so. Just know that he gave you everything when he died for you, and is now walking with you, has secured your future and has erased your sinful past. It is enough. Be thankful and grateful. Your brother and friend, Mike Young. Next, coming soon, the book of Matthew, chapter 21, Jesus' triumphal entry, Jesus cleanses the temple, the barren fig tree, Authority challenged, parable of the landowner. Previous, the book of Matthew, chapter 19, divorce, children, the rich young ruler, the disciples' reward. Please bookmark this page or subscribe for future episodes.